getting out and meeting people and creating relationships that were valuable to me is what helped me to open doors for other things that I wanted to do. And then just setting the tone and having the intention and the manifestation to say, this is who I want to put my clothes on. This is what I want to work with, because I'm in control of what I, it's my brand, it's my clothing line, and I'm making it, and I'm in control of who I want to see in it and everything like that.
You're listening to Sean Henry's Becoming, a podcast that focuses on the emotional journey of an entrepreneur from the thought of their business to the execution and beyond. I am your host, Sean Henry, a serial entrepreneur, speaker, real estate investor, landlord, 21-year retired Army veteran, and author of When the Bank Says No. I'm sitting down with entrepreneurs to talk about their processes and the lessons they've learned along the way. Fasten your seatbelts. The journey is rough, but rewarding. Thank you again for joining us for another episode of Sean Henry's Becoming. Today we have another designer, but this designer is definitely extremely unique. Her fashion, when you step out in her designs, you are definitely going to be noted. She has already been featured on OWN TV, Ambitious OWN, Essence Magazine, as well as the Braxton Family Values. So you know, if Miss Tamar and her family is rocking these designs, then you definitely know it's something for you to wear too. So today we have Miss Shanita Denton, designer and owner of S. Denton Collection. Welcome, Shanita. How are you?
Hi, Sean. How are you? I'm doing great. Okay. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day, so...
Absolutely. We've had a few of those amidst all this stuff that's happening right now. We definitely have to find the beauty, in every single day.
Right.
Okay, great. So listen, we always get started with our guests by asking them, just a little bit about themselves, their background, and let us know what led them up to where they currently are. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, a very rough part of New Jersey where many people don't get to make it out. Many people don't get to dream or, accomplish things. And I'm excited to see that my city has been birthing so many entrepreneurs and people who are just out here getting it and deciding to be a change for what we've been known for. So, yeah, that's a little bit about where I'm from, and then I'm now in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, so why do you say that most people don't get to dream in Newark, New Jersey?
I feel like coming from Newark, New Jersey, it was more so like you just get a job. It wasn't really, much hope for inner city kids or much... an outlook of thinking that they would make it to be successful. So it's either you go to work or you go to school, and if you don't do either, then you're pretty much like a lost cause. So to be able to be from Newark, New Jersey, and be proud to be from Newark, New Jersey, and to say that I'm doing something somewhat in my eyes as successful, it feels great to know that I am a product of Newark, and I wasn't a product of Newark, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. So basically, where you grew up could be considered, inner city, any town, USA.
Yeah. And I guess in our terms, it would be the hood.
Correct.
So, to be a girl from the hood and to do, things that I'm doing, I'm super proud of that. And like I said, not to just be a product of what I've seen, or what I've known to grow up, such as you have the people that are on drugs and you have, the bad things, the killings and everything. I feel like that's what Newark has become known for, is just the bad, and they don't really shine light. I feel like they're doing a good job of it now, but they haven't really been good with shining light on all the good and positivity that Newark has going on.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely understand that. Well, speaking with you, we are for sure going to shine a light on Newark's finest here. Because your stuff, your designs, you can't help, they sparkle already. So we know, you know, if somebody that's making these type of designs, definitely your light is shining bright for sure. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. I have two brothers. Actually the oldest of my mom's children. So yeah, I have a brother under me. You know, he's 27. Mm-hmm. And then I have another brother. He just turned 21 and he's about to graduate from college.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. So it's not just the environment. So obviously it's, you know, your upbringing. Your mom is like, you know, my children are not, like you said, going to be a product of the environment. So that's good. Did you grow up in an entrepreneurial household?
No, my mom, she, to this day, she still works like she works like crazy. She's truly very strong and very motivated. But my grandmother is an entrepreneur, or was an entrepreneur. She actually just retired about 2 years ago. And she owned her own lounge in New Jersey called The Playhouse, which she had that since about like the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was the first look of an entrepreneur that I had ever seen. And I will say that I do have a lot of traits from her in the sense of just being motivated and just being that leader and that boss. And I saw my grandmother just not only be a leader and a boss, but look very fashionable while doing it. So she did have a bit of an influence on me.
Okay. Yeah, we could definitely see. When I look at your stuff, I see, you know, a little bit of that old time glamour. So I can definitely see that for sure. So your current business is S. Denton Collection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and were there any hobbies or interests that led you to this business?
No, I always tell this story about how, like, I went to school, I tried to do college, which it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
Much like how entrepreneurship doesn't work for everybody, it's some people as well. And going to school, I was going to school to be a judge for criminal justice because I was following the footsteps of my godmother at the time. And once again, she you know, is a judge who's super fly and super stylish and beautiful. And I'm like, okay, I can do that too. And it just didn't work out for me. And I just always had a way of just like being creative with my own style, you know, even from when I was a little girl, like it was always playing dress up in my grandmother's stuff or, you know, just finding ways to be creative with my own clothing and having my own sense of style. And I would just start sketching and I started taking these designs to my mentor, who became like a second grandmother to me. And she was just like, where do you get these designs from? And I'm like, I just come up with them. It's things I just want made. So she would sew the designs for me until one day she was like, why don't you just, you know, let me teach you how to sew. I'm not going to make anything for you. I'll teach you how to make what you're sketching and you can turn it into a business. And I was like, what? Like, really? And she was like, yeah. And from the day that she told me to come over to start teaching me, I took it very serious. I had my machine and everything and I was ready. And, the first thing I took her was sequins, and she was like, you want to start sewing on sequins? And I was like, yeah, I just love sequins. I'm always getting things made in sequins. So if I do start a business, it will be based around sequins fabric. And that's kind of how that happened.
Wow. And so is sequins harder to kind of manipulate than anything else, any other fabric?
Yes, it is. Because it's pretty much like a beaded fabric. It's, you know, it has scales on it and you have different grades of sequins. So with sewing sequins, it can become really tedious because you're breaking a lot of needles versus just sewing on a flat, smooth edge, you know, fabric such as a knit or a polyester or a silk or something like that, which can be a little difficult at times because it shifts. But with sequins, it's a bit more difficult, and I find that a lot of designers sometimes don't like to work with sequins. They'll do certain things in sequins, but my whole line is pretty based around sequins fabric. And I just like a challenge anyway. Like, so I've found a way to, you know, manipulate the fabric to work for me. And I always tell people who I mentor, don't allow the garment or the fabric to work you. You got to work the garment. You got to figure out how to maneuver it and finagle it in a way that it isn't daunting for you and it works for you. So.
Absolutely. So essentially then learning how to work on one of the most difficult fabric worked in your favor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So were there any hobbies or anything that led you to deciding to be a designer or a seamstress?
No, like I said, I didn't, this wasn't the field of choice that I decided to go in. So right. I wasn't the girl that sat around and was like, I wanted to be a fashion designer. I wanted to be, you know, anything of that nature. Like I said, I wanted to be a judge. Mm-hmm. And I took something, like I said, my little drawings that I was taking, they weren't the best drawings, but my seamstress at the time, like I said, who was my mentor, she was able to understand what I was asking her to make. And like I said, so she took that and decided to say, like, why don't you just start learning how to sew? And that's how, like I said, it came about.
So from that point, from learning how to sew on a difficult fabric, at what point did you decide that this was going to be a business?
Once I made my first garment, which was like, I still have it to this day. I won't sell it to anybody. It was like this backless jacket, like sequence jacket. It was super dope. And from there, I was like, oh, this is really nice. And I was, you know, I wore it out and I got so many compliments on it. And it made me say to myself, like, if people like this, like, I can truly sell this, like, you know. And she would encourage me and say the same thing, like, you can truly make money from making clothes. And like I said, from that, I decided, okay, let me try to turn it into a business. So I started making different things and doing custom orders for people, which weren't the greatest at the time. I wasn't the best seamstress at the time. And but people were still paying me their money to bring visions to life or allowing me to use my creativity to just make things for them. So that's when I decided to turn it into a business, when I saw the amount of support that I was getting from it.
Mm-hmm. And you've been an entrepreneur for the past 7.5 years.
Yep, almost 8 years.
Yeah, so that's a blessing in itself, because, you know, a lot of people start businesses and stop businesses. I've been in the entrepreneurial world for about over the past 20 years, and that's been my story, stopping and starting for whatever reason. And now I am back as a full-time entrepreneur as of this past February, and I'm so excited of this journey. So how was it, you know, starting out, you know, how did you afford the fabrics and you know, how did you market your designs? You know, like you said, you wore your jacket out, but how did you start your marketing plan and the finances of it all?
I definitely have to give much credit to, like, my husband, who has been like my rock and my greatest support system. Because I never started and stopped. I may have slowed a little bit, mm-hmm. because I did go into going back to work. Like, once I had my son, you know, being an entrepreneur, it can be hard and it can be very expensive. So for me, I started working again while in the same time still pursuing my goals and my dreams with my business. And then, I decided full time around 2015 that I was like, okay, I'm never going back to a job ever again, and I pretty much stuck to that motto. But like I said, it's been many days where it was like, what am I doing, you know, why am I doing this? And it was days when I had to look at my account and say, it's been overdrawn so many times in the negative so many times that I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do. But I feel like in those moments when I question myself is when I feel God always sends like an anchor or some sort of like blessing, whether that's a new client, whether that's a TV show hitting me up, whether that's, you know, something that will have me being like, okay, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. Some type of divine intervention. So I truly thank my husband, because he has been the one to keep us afloat for so long until I was able now to say, okay, I got this. You know, my business is doing good. I figured out the ins and outs of it or whatever. So he helped invest in me so much.
Girl, amen to partnership. I'm telling you. That's a blessing in itself. There's so many of us that are out here just grinding, you know, getting it in all alone. So, you know, kudos to your husband. Hats off to that king for seeing the value, seeing the worth in what it is that you had going on, and then holding you down. Now both of you can reap the benefits of all the seeds that both of you have sown.
Yeah, you definitely need a good support system, because I don't know what I would have done without his support. I probably would have gave up a long time ago, but he truly believes in me. And in those days when I'm like, I give up, I don't want to do this anymore, he's like, are you serious? You done came this far and you're just going to give up? And all the hard work, everything you work for, you're just going to stop? And it's like, you know what, you're right. Like, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but being an entrepreneur can definitely be hard. So, yes, I trust me, I understand. And then that's why I started this podcast, because a lot of times you're like, am I on the right path? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? So you have to believe in yourself, and then your tribe has to believe in you too. So,
right.
Okay. So,
and then with so much, I feel like with social media, it kind of glorifies all the highs, and I try to be as transparent as I can with my audience, because I was that girl that would see things on social media and be like, oh my gosh, like, they're doing so amazing, only to meet some of these people or see some of these things and see that it was all a lie, or it was just something to sell you a dream. So just being able to give the real about what is going on within my business, I enjoy the journey. Whether I had it and lost it all today, I don't mind sharing that, because I think people need to see that side. People just glorify the entrepreneurship of, oh, it's so amazing, you're going to make all this money, you're going to be a millionaire and all this other stuff, when that's just not the case. Like, you have to really, really put in years and work hard for that. So,
absolutely. Yeah, one of the questions I always ask our guests are, how do they feel about you know, the gross narrative report. So basically what you just said, a lot of entrepreneurs, they'll talk about, oh, I just made $85,000, or I just got this check for $20,000 or $8,000, whatever it is. But they never say, you know, what it cost to get there. So basically that money is just paying themselves back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really see a profit. Like, even when I've made some of the most money, it's like, okay, it has to go back into this. I have to pay my employees and things like that, to where you're like, wait, I just made all of this and this is what I'm left with. But like I said, it takes a lot of time and discipline to understand that, because sometimes, you know, you got these businesses out here that are frauding people that make all of this money and don't do those things. They just use the money on themselves and things like that. So I feel like it is a false narrative that some people draw about entrepreneurship and what it's supposed to be like. So I get so many people who come to me and they're like, I want to start a business and this and a third, and I saw this person doing it and I want to make this type of money and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just looking at them like, first of all, you don't even have like a whole name or a business plan of what you want to do. So how do you plan to do that? And I'm not saying whoever you saw is lying, but again, like, you're looking at something that you're looking at a still photo or a video for a few seconds of what they want you to see.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 So once you break it down for them, what's usually their rebuttal?
I mean, sometimes some people may shy away. Maybe I'm just too blunt for some people, or sometimes they'll take heed to do the work, like, you know, and that's what I try to tell everybody. You do the work, you'll see the benefits. Like, but if you want to just take the fast route, you might see some benefits. Some people get lucky, but I just don't feel like it'll last long and you won't appreciate it as much. Like, I appreciate everything within my business because I know the nights, I know the days, I know the hours and the minutes and seconds that I put into it, the tears, the sweat, the blood, the sacrifice, the times I didn't spend with my husband, the times that I had to tell my son that I couldn't take him somewhere because I had to put business first. I know those things, so I appreciate it.
Yeah. So that goes into the question I asked, what's your opinion on job shaming? Because like you said, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. However, you know, in the world of social media, we see entrepreneurs, you know, shaming those that have a regular 9-to-5, 8-to-3, whatever, you know, where they're working for other people. Most entrepreneurs say, oh, you're helping someone else achieve their goal. You should be working on your goal. What do you say about that?
I mean, I can never job shame someone because I had a 9-to-5. I had to do what I had to do to provide for my family. And again, when you're growing up mainly in like a Black household, that's what you're told to do. You're told to go get a job. You're told to go either, you know, you go to work or you go to school. It was no entrepreneur, like you're going to go be an entrepreneur. So I have many friends, like my husband included, who work 9-to-5. So how can I ever shame that? Because like I said, he's been the one to keep us afloat when my entrepreneur job or whatever was not working out. Yeah, my friends who have 9-to-5s, like, you know, they're still making sacrifices as well by going to work every day, by doing what they need to do to pay their bills and make a living. So how can I shame them when, you know, at the same time, my friends working jobs, I feed off of them as well, because a lot of the things that they're learning within their corporate world, I tend to ask them advice that I can put into my business on how to run a business. Because let's just be honest, I didn't know how to run a business. I never went to school on how to run a business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm learning this day by day, making mistakes through trial and error and things like that. But I do have friends who work in 9-to-5 that I can say, like, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to customer service, when it comes to this, you know, sending out email blasts and things like that, how to do it. And they help me with that. So their 9-to-5, the skills that they're learning is helping me in my business.
Absolutely. Yeah, I never understood that either, because that quote unquote guaranteed check can fund your entrepreneurial goals and help you to get to the status that you are right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So you said, you know, people were contacting you, like I mentioned in the intro, you know, you've already been featured on in many publications, you know, different networks. So how did that happen?
By God, and I guess by them seeing the sparkle and the shine of the sequence.
Absolutely.
but I also say that when working as an entrepreneur or anywhere, you want to just make sure you're creating valuable and intentional relationships. So, just by meeting different people, and I'm not as out as I need to be, especially now because of Corona, but even still, like, I would try to go to events here and there because I'm more of a homebody. But getting out and meeting people and creating relationships that were valuable to me is what helped me to open doors for other things that I wanted to do. And then just setting the tone and having the intention and the manifestation to say, this is who I want to put my clothes on. This is what I want to work with, because I'm in control of it's my brand, it's my clothing line, and I'm making it, and I'm in control of who I want to see in it and everything like that. So I also try to tell, you know, my mentees as well, is, you know, just because you get an offer, you don't have to take every offer that comes around.
Girl, sometimes you gotta say that.
Whether it's a paycheck or whether it's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that comes around and they say, I want to wear SN Collection, it's been celebrities that I've turned away and say, like, no, I don't think that it's going to be conducive to my brand, because I just don't see the benefit in it. So I have to first make sure it's beneficial. I have to pray on it and think about it and make sure it's beneficial for me and my brand before I make sure it's beneficial for you. So because I've had a lot of trial and error. I've had a lot of situations where things just, you know, went, you know, bad or whatever, that I had to learn from. So now, like I said, I'm in control of just saying who I want in my clothes, how I want to put people in my clothes, and what my price is. And if you choose to rock with that, then you do. And if you don't, then it's no love lost. I truly believe that the world has a way of coming back around and circling around you to where an opportunity may come again. But those are how those opportunities happen. It's just being intentional, praying on it, and then creating valuable relationships with people.
Absolutely. I believe when I was introduced to you a couple of years ago, or at least your brand, you had custom denim. So it was like, it was like, you had, it was traditional denim, you know, and, but the pant leg had the sequins, you know, at the, on the leg. And I mean, it was so beautiful. So it wasn't, it was distressed. It had the sequins. So you had everything and it wasn't too busy. Like, it was absolutely perfect. So
thank you. I still have those. Okay. Those are like some of my best sellers.
Okay. Yeah. Because anybody can rock that anywhere.
Right.
You know? Okay. So then you, then like anybody can go onto your Instagram. So it's s.dentoncollection. And they can see your beautiful, you have suits, you have skirts, people are dressing them up, they're dressing them down. And then recently I've seen a lot of turbans. So the turbans, you've done the turbans, and then you pivoted with the COVID-19 and this pandemic, you've even made sequins masks for people.
Yes.
Okay. So you,
my life has become like the turbans and the masks right now. And that's like, I actually just started doing some custom stuff. I just opened it up to take custom orders as people are starting to go out, because I was feeling like I was in a creative box. And like, I wasn't being as creative as I normally would, because it had only become about the turbans and the masks, which are a good thing. And those have become like my top sellers. So I'm still sticking to that, but now I'm opening it up more to be like, okay, I'm gonna ease back into doing some custom work and taking orders, because with COVID happening, I did have to shut down. And a lot of my prom orders, and you know, I had a wedding client and things like that, had to cancel due to the fact that they couldn't even wear the garments, and nobody was really saying I need custom garments, because where were we all going? We were all quarantined.
Right.
So, I did have to kind of adapt to what the market was, what the demand was, and that was the mask. And then I said, like I was already doing the turbans. I had started them last year, but I was like, what about if I did it as a set where you can cover your hair as well and you can wear the mask as a set? And then it just kind of took off.
Okay, so what made you in each design? Okay, we know you have the custom stuff, but you know, when you're just, you know, in your workshop and you're deciding to be creative, you because you've dressed some very fashion forward people, like Claire Summers of Fashion Bomb Daily. She's rocking a beautiful, beautiful red sequin suit, amongst other designs. So how do you decide, okay, I'm gonna do a suit today, I'm gonna do a skirt, or how do you decide what the collection's gonna be?
As you had stated previously, like, my whole style is just like a classic glamour, old, you know, got an old money type of feel. So I always want to represent that. Like, you know, I think that every designer has their lane of what they should stick to or what they're known for. For me, of course, it's sequins, but two is like my suits and my skirts and things like that are classic pieces. Like with my skirts, like you said, you can literally, you don't have, that's not a skirt you just have to wear because you're going out to a formal event. Like, you can literally wear that if you want to put on some, you know, cute Converses or some sneakers or some flats or whatever the case may be. And then with my suits, they just they're a statement on its own. And my greatest influences are people such as, like, I love Monica, you know, I love Diane Carroll, Tracee Ellis Ross. They have this eclectic but edgy and sophisticated style about them that is just classic. Like, it's timeless. It's not going anywhere. Like, I don't care what type of fabrics you can redo a suit over and over, because suits are not new. You know, they're just different materials, whether it's sequins, whether it's satin, whether it's, you know, suiting material. A suit is not going anywhere. So I wanted to always include classic staple pieces within my brand, but make them my own, which is where the sequins came in, and doing the different colors and the different patterns and things like that. So yeah, I hope that answered the question.
Absolutely. And then how did you transition into the headpieces with the turbans? And then these are not just traditional turbans. I mean, it has the traditional outline of them, but you have really glammed them up, not just with the sequins, but you have jewels on the on some of them in the front. So you have really made them a part of the S. Dot Denton collection. So how did you decide to transition into headpieces?
Well, the headpiece came out of I actually had just made one for myself, and I usually use myself as the trial and error model, but I wasn't even thinking of making headpieces for anybody. I just had made one to go. I was like, oh, this outfit would be cute if I had a cute turban, and I just made one. And I'm all about classic and just being sparkly. So I was like, oh, I could put a little cute brooch on it that I had that was on one of my jackets. And I went on a date night with my hubby, and I posted the picture on my personal Instagram, and people were just like, oh my gosh, do you have that on your website? And, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I should start doing them. So I did another one, and this was like right when COVID happened. And I went to the post office, and I had a mask on with the matching turban with the navy blue and silver one. And I had the jewel on it. And from that, people were just like, where can I buy this? They were like blowing up my DMs and everything. So I was like, okay, maybe I should just start selling them as a set. Cause I had, like I said, I had already started kind of the turban. But they weren't like really picking up right away. But then once I added the mask on, is when they like picked up and took off because of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's kind of how I started that. And then I wanted it to still, like, cause you can kind of pretty much buy turbans anywhere. But like I said, I wanted it to be an Estan collection staple. And I think everybody knows me, not just for the sequence, but more the reversible sequence where you get the two colors. So, I wanted to do that, and I added the brooch because I just feel like when you see that turban and you see the brooch on it, you're going to automatically tie the two together and say, did you get that from Estenton Collection? Because I saw it. And like I said, everybody can do a turban or whatever, but I wanted it to be my own where they had the matching brooches and things like that. So,
yeah. And then so also, right, because your sequence is definitely not one denomination when it comes to color. So it is the reversible sequins. You rub your hands across it, and that gives a completely different look altogether. It can change up the outfit as well. But you also have joggers. You have joggers, the velour joggers. Correct me if that's not the right fabric, but you know, the very soft, beautiful fabric. And you so your designs are not just limited to sequins.
Yeah, I felt like I had been put in a box of just like, if you just go to her if you want sequins. And I wanted to show my audience that, you know, I'm not just the sequins queen as I've dubbed myself. I was like, I can do other things. Like I can sew pretty much about anything. Like I said, when I had my wedding, I did all my bridesmaids gowns. None of them were sequins. Surprisingly, everybody thought that I was going to have a sequins bridal party, but I had, you know, they were not sequins at all. You know, I do normal gowns that are not just sequins, but different fabrics and things like that. And I wanted to introduce Velvet Variations. That's the collection you're talking about with the joggers and the matching top. As a way for people to see that, okay, like, not only does she do sequins, I don't feel like I just have to go to her for formal events or things like that, but she also do just regular ready-to-wear, you know, pieces.
Absolutely, yeah, and they're beautiful too. And you don't have to be a size zero to wear your stuff. That's very important.
I always tell people, they say, you don't sew for plus size girls, and I'm like, I really do. Again, like it's so weird because even with my skirts, my number one seller in the skirts, the size is about a 16, 18. Mm-hmm. And I've had people who requested special sizing, such as like a 20 to a 22. So I do custom sizes, but keep in mind, I am the face of my brand and the model for my brand. And I'm about a size 6, 8-ish now. So most of the time when I make a sample piece, I'm going to make it so that I can wear it because I know how I want to wear my stuff. I know how I want the pictures to look. I know how I want my ads and my campaigns to look. So I'm usually acting as the face of my brand. So I think that it kind of confuses people that I only do it for this certain this certain size client when that's not true.
Right. Well, I think anybody that looks you up, they can definitely see that there are some beautiful plus size curvy models on here. You have people of all sizes on your Instagram for sure. So, and then again, the items are customized. So if you're making them to fit that person. When the bank says no, Airbnb hosting without owning the property. Read how one woman took a bank's rejection for financing and turned it into a lucrative Airbnb business without owning the property. Shawn shares her step-by-step process from picking her niche market to furniture purchases, all which led her to achieving superhost status in her first 30 days of hosting with Airbnb. Learn how she made almost $20,000 in less than 7 months while still maintaining her full-time job. New hosts are often unsure of what they need to do, making Airbnb harder than it has to be. Follow her story of determination and perseverance and learn how you can implement her practices in any of your entrepreneurial endeavors. Go to www.seanhenry.com. That's www.seanhenry to order your copy of When the Bank Says No, Airbnb Hosting Without Owning the Property. Yeah, so you're making custom wear. So you're making it for whatever size, you know, the person ordered. So, and I love how you did the pillow challenge. So everyone was doing the pillow challenge where they literally had a pillow, wore a pillow as a dress, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And then you, you accessorized it with this beautiful veil. So I love the mixture of fabrics that you use and, just the creativity of all of that is absolutely amazing. Pearl gloves. I mean, you're like a girly girl's, you know, fairy godmother. Like, you can pretty much trick out anything.
Yes, I am a girly girl that will still be like really girly girl and go on some cute sneakers and say, let's go. Like,
absolutely. So. I love the short suits that you also have. And then you have, so everybody, you know, was following the trend of the, like the booty shorts, you know, with the legs out and everything. And so you even have that design, of course, with your signature sequence as well. So it's pretty much whatever the imagination can think of and
yeah,
you can bring it to life.
Like I said, I'm usually up late working, sewing or on my computer handling the back end office, and then like I'll literally come up with these ideas. And it's like sometimes I can be in my bed, like I'm always thinking about business even when I'm in the bed with my husband, to the point that I'm like, I have to stop what I'm doing and I have to go in my notes and write the design, like this type of dress with this split or whatever, so that I won't forget it the next day.
Right.
And then I'll literally go and just make it.
Absolutely. So how does someone order from you? Because I'm definitely gonna have to come. My birthday is actually this Sunday. I have a photo shoot coming up this in a couple of days, tomorrow.
Oh,
actually.
Happy early birthday.
Thank
I have
you.
A style of shoot for my girlfriend. Her birthday is on the 20th, and then I have she's doing a birthday shoot. So
absolutely. So how does someone order from you? What's that process look like?
So pretty much like you go to my website and you will pretty much you know, you can browse the collections and see what I have. Everything on my website is custom, but you can still order just like you're ordering from Azara's or someone else on the website. But if you want something like a birthday outfit that was outside of that, then you would email me at sbensoncollection@gmail.com and, you know, give me about 24 to 48 hours to respond to the email, letting you know the process, my contracts and everything like that of how to get you your garment.
Okay, so what can you explain the process to us from start to finish? So I go to your site, estetandcollection.com or .com, and I see what you already have, and I plug in some information to let you know, okay, let's just go with the sequence. Well, it's summertime right now, so let's go with the short suit set that you have. So I say, okay, I want to do that. And then what's the process after that?
So I'm actually about to release that. I just haven't posted it yet.
Oh,
I'll make sure
okay.
that yeah, so pretty much you go on the website and you would select the suit, select the sizing. Now if you felt like you wanted to add your own personal measurements, because I'll have the suit listed as a small, 4 to 6, medium, 8 to 10, things like that. But if you wanted to be more specific and add your bust, your waist, your hips, then it says additional measurements box that I think some people skip over, but it's on the website when you're ordering. And then there you can add in the notes what, measurements you want to put in. And then once you press, complete your order, all the information comes to my email. So I'll see everything. I'll see your measurements and those things. But if you decided, oh, I like this short set or whatever, but I want to add this to the jacket, I want to do this to the pants or whatever, make them a little longer, then that's going into the more of the custom route where you have to email me so that we can communicate back and forth on what it is you want and how I plan to execute it.
Okay.
And then from there, you would just pay, the amount of monies you need to pay. I start the garment. You'll pay for shipping. I'll ship it to you, and then I try to ship it in a decent amount of time. That if anything needs to be altered, you do get one free alteration, in which I will do that and get it back to you.
Okay, so there's no fittings that happen in so if they're local here in Atlanta, is there an opportunity for a fitting?
Yes, I do. I highly suggest fitting, but I know most of my clients are literally in the LA area. Houston, New York, New Jersey, those type of areas that I know that they're most likely not going to come here for a fitting unless it's like a wedding or something where they're, it's a little different. They're like, okay, we got time, we'll come for our fitting, whatever. But for custom garments like a birthday or anything like that, they'll usually just get the garment made. I send it to them. If they send me the correct measurements and take the measurements properly, then the garment usually comes out as it's supposed to. But if not, then if they need the alteration, they're able to send it back, and I'm able to do the alteration, send it back to them, and then we'll be fine there.
Okay.
Sorry, my dog.
Oh, it's okay. So, okay, so how does it, so what's the price range like for something, and I'm gonna say simple, so don't be dis I don't want to be disrespectful, because I know, this is definitely not simple, because anybody, if it was, everybody would be able to do it. But something like from the turban and the mask to something like your the suits. So what's the price range, so our listeners can have an idea of how much they need to put back to spend.
So for my turbans, they start at $70, and then the masks are $25. And then for something like my custom suits, which are a bit more intricate, they start at $1,200.
Okay. Yeah,
So
but these are statement pieces. I mean, even the mask, even the before COVID-19 was happening, you had rappers having, wearing masks in their videos. So these pieces, people can rock them for many,
for
many,
many, many years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at your Instagram, and it is definitely beautiful. I think I went to dinner one night, and I seen a girl. She was actually having her a mini photo shoot in the parking lot of Bonefish Grill in one of your designs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, that looks familiar. And you're so right. Like, your stuff just pops out. It stands out. So anyone who sees it automatically is like, oh, that's a S. Denton Collection, piece. So Yeah, they definitely stand out for sure.
And I think that has become like the most exciting part for me as an entrepreneur, and the most humbling part is like when I go somewhere and even if I see someone in my stuff and it's like, oh my God, did you get that from us? And they're like, yeah, oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, I'm the designer. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're the designer. I'm like, yeah. Or if I, you know, if I'm out and they're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, if they see me with something on there, like, where'd you get that from? And I tell them, and they'll say, oh my gosh, I follow you already. You're the designer. So it's so cool.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. It's always great when someone else appreciates your work.
Mm-hmm.
Now we talked about, you know, the stagnant phase of entrepreneurship, you know, how to get out of that, how you got out of that. What advice do you give those who are considering entrepreneurship? You said you have some mentees, you know, that are trying to learn your craft or they already know your craft and they're just trying to tighten it up. What's some of your advice you would give those that are considering going into entrepreneurship?
Pretty much like just create a plan and know what it is you want to do. Stick to your lane and don't try to conform to what you feel like society wants you to be or what others feel like you shouldn't be doing or you shouldn't be doing. For me, like, had I listened to like my mom, like, although she wants the best for me, or listened to others around me who felt like maybe you should just get a job, maybe you should do this, it isn't working, like, I wouldn't have accomplished as much as I've been accomplishing now and what I plan to accomplish in the future. So stick to your guns, like, never let anybody steer you from your dreams, and only push in, you know, dream which, you know, what it is you dream. Stop trying to dream other people's dreams. So many times I feel that people, like I said, they see other people doing this and then they'll stop what they're doing and say, well, she's doing this and she looks like she's winning with it or he's winning with it. So I'm going to just try to do that versus sticking to what it is they feel is in their gut. And me, I just stick to what it is. It's in my gut, whatever I'm feeling. I don't move unless I feel it. I don't move when somebody tells me to move. So I think those things are important with being an entrepreneur and just having great intentions, praying to God daily. Because you're going to need a whole lot of talk to God while you're an entrepreneur, just to help them guide you.
Your faith is definitely challenged as an entrepreneur constantly because you stay in your head. You stay in your head because when things are not going the way that you expect them to go, then you're like, okay, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. And so then you're questioning yourself, you know, on top of that. So, you preaching right now, girl. You are preaching because
yes, it is hard.
That's self-doubt, I'm telling you. And again, I have to take my hat off to your husband, like, sweetheart, this is what we doing, okay? This is what, so whatever the thoughts you had, you need to turn right back around and get rid of them, because this is what you like.
This relationship, we've challenged it so many times. Because I'm very strong-minded, and he's like an alpha male, so he's very strong-minded as well. And when I feel something, like, I can say to him, babe, I want to do this. I want to take this to Africa, and I want to have a whole photo shoot. And he's going to look at me like, are you serious? And I'm like, I'm so serious. And I will stick to that. And I don't care if he feels like, I don't feel it's going to work. And I'll tell him, I don't care if you feel it's going to work. It's going to work. And he'll ride with it. And, you know, but if it don't work, you know, he'll be there to be like, now, this is why I tell you to listen to me sometimes because, you know, X, Y, Z. But that's what, when you're creative and you have these ideas in your head, you can't tell a creative no, because we feel like, okay, I know this is dope. I know that it's going to work. Even though if people might not gravitate to it. Like, I have a good example, like with the jeans. Like, when I first did the jeans, people didn't gravitate to them. Some people thought that they were ugly, like they weren't, you know, hot. Whereas though me, I felt like, I don't care what nobody's saying. These jeans are hot, and I'm going to keep doing them. And it wasn't until Claire wore them that other people felt like, oh, those are dope, you know?
So So I guess because Claire has a great eye for fashion, so it was like, oh, okay, she wore them and it's on her side. So again, the right marketing, right. Because they were always dope. It just took you believing
the right look, the right photo, the right person to just bring it out.
First, it took you believing in yourself and not giving up. So we're not going to take no credit away from you. That's number one.
That too. Okay. Yeah. That's why I said you got to stick to your guns and just be like, I know this is going to work. Absolutely. The world may not see it right now, but they will soon.
They will. And when they do, it's going to blow up. Because look, I mean, throughout your Instagram page is basically a who's who in your clothes. So I'm sure if your orders are not backed up, I'm sure they're stacked for people. People who want to get into
I'm a little backed up now. Like I said, my life has become pretty much more so the mask and turbans because of what we've been dealing with and nobody really going anywhere. But I have so many new things that I'm about to do. I have bathing suits coming, my sequence bathing suits that are dropping, you know, within a couple weeks. The new suits, I got new color turbans and new color masks and things like that. So
Since you mentioned the bathing suits, how does sequins work in the pool? How does that work? Or is this something where we just gonna look cute? I mean, a lot of us don't get in the pool anyway when we go to pool parties. So is this we just gonna look cute on the sidelines, or is this gonna be an actual functioning bathing suit?
No, it will actually be an actual functioning bathing suit with a bathing suit lining. It will be sequins, so I do always have to say, keep in mind that sequins is a delicate and a high maintenance fabric. Okay. So want to protect your sequins, even when you buy my skirts, even when you buy my turbans, I give you care instructions to let you know you should only be hand washing them or taking them to the cleaner. So with your bathing suit, you will be able to get in the water, but all that trying to do the extra heavy drying and things like that, I don't recommend it. And it is definitely, if you still want to just go to the bathing suit and don't plan on getting the water and just being cute and sexy. So
I've realized a lot of suits also, you know, you could wear them out so that it could turn into from the pool to the nightlife. And your stuff is definitely absolutely. And your stuff is definitely transitional wear. Did you do that on purpose?
I really didn't. I mean, I did want something that people could wear and still feel like let's say for instance with the skirts, like you don't want to just pay $150 for a skirt that you feel like you're gonna just wear one time, right? So that's why now I try to show so many ways, like because I think people were buying the skirts and they just thought, oh, you only supposed to wear it one time with one outfit in one way. Like, no, you can literally wear this how you feel, whatever creative mind you're in, wear it that way. You want to wear it with sneakers, do that. You want to wear it with some boots, you want to wear it with, you know, a cute hoodie, you can do those things and you can get as many wears as you can out of your dibs and collection pieces without feeling like you just spent all this money on one garment only to wear it one place.
Absolutely. And if they have any questions, they can definitely look at your Instagram and see how a lot of different people wore it. So if they are not that creative and, you know, they're the people who wear something the way it looks off a mannequin, they have a lot of examples on your Instagram.
Yes, because this is for the bold and the free over here at Essence Collection. We like to be creative with our sequences. So even with people who have been sending me and tagging me in their photos, you know, it's super cool because, like, I do these little email blasts where I just ask people, like, send us your best photo, we'll feature you. And then they'll usually participate and actually get dressed up, get their makeups done, and actually send us their photos, whether that's in their turban, skirts, or whatever. So it's super cool to see how, outside of my own mind, how other women think and wear their as their collection garment.
Are you inspired by that? Has any someone else's styling inspired a specific garment?
Yes, I'm always inspired by, like, I think it's like one of those things that just fuels my adrenaline to be like, okay, I got to keep doing, I got to do something else now. What's the next thing? And I'm always talking to my team, like, we have to focus on what's the next thing? Like, what's going to make them say, wow? Like, you know, so I am inspired by when I see these stylists or just these women who style their garments in different ways that make me be like, oh, I didn't think, like, my girlfriend, she always shops with me and she's like, she may wear with a hoodie or some cute boots, or now I might be like, I didn't even think to wear it like that. Like, I didn't think to wear it like that, but now I know I can wear the skirt like that or wear my suit, and I can take my suit and take it apart and do the jacket with these cute shorts,
or maybe the jacket with the cute tulle skirt, or maybe the pants with the cute hoodie. You know, that's what I'm saying. I want people to see that it's interchangeable, and it's not just you have to buy this one suit, wear it this one way, and then you put it in the closet until you feel like you can bring it out again.
Are entrepreneurs born or made?
I feel like entrepreneurs are made. Like, I mean, I feel anybody can be born an entrepreneur. Like, you have some sort of trait in you, and skill set in you. But I feel like entrepreneurs are definitely made, because you have to build yourself to pretty much have a strong mindset to do it. Like, you have to make yourself believe, for one, that you can be an entrepreneur. You have to believe in that. And then you have to make the sacrifices. You have to make the commitment to want to do it. Like, so, like I said, I don't think that it's just born in you. It's something you learn. It's something you grow attached to, and it's something that you're committed to.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And what is the impact that you're hoping to achieve with Esten Collection?
As I always say, I want Esten Collection to be worldwide. I want it to be, you know, I want to just make an impact in households, of just saying, like, this garment made me feel beautiful. This garment made me make a difference. I try so hard with my customer service to make a difference, whether that's putting on a smile on their face when they open the packaging, and how it's packaged up, when they read my personal thank you cards, and just leaving an impact on the world, not just to say, you know, this was just some boutique fashion brand, but it was a worldwide fashion house. And that's where I plan to go with it, is to have my own space, you know, in the upcoming years, that women can come to from all over and get to actually interact and meet the designer and be personable and get a feel for my clothes up close and personal, and walk away feeling accomplished. Like I said, like, this made me feel empowered. This made me feel beautiful. This made me feel classic and timeless, just like the clothes are supposed to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Your stuff is definitely timeless. Like I said, we definitely like to share our spotlight, you know? So I always ask for our guests to name a Black owned small business. Let us know what they do. How can we find them? How can we support them?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I mean, I have so many. One is like one of my good friends, Stylish Ibiba. She has her own, you know, platform that she promotes fashion through positivity and style. So I can give you her Instagram. It's at stylish_i_diva.
So we got Stylish I Diva, Stylish_IEYE_Diva. So we definitely want to look at that. And then, is there a book that has helped you or your business grow?
You said it has a book?
Yes, a book.
Yes, I don't read as much as I normally used to, because mm-hmm. I'd be so tied up with work. But I truly love You Are Badass by Jen Sincero. It's pretty much like an affirmation book, just teaching you, just shaping your mindset to just think, to let you know you are pretty much a badass and you can do it.
And that's definitely, go ahead. I was going to say, that's definitely something that is needed as an entrepreneur. You always need that reminder.
Yes, that you are a badass and that you can do it. So,
yeah. What were you going to say?
No, I was thinking of other books that I can name, but I didn't want to just give so many.
Girl, listen, I've had people give me lists, okay? I'm like, good Lord. But hey, it's whatever it is that you want. Like I said, at this point, this is your platform. You telling us about you and what motivates you. You never know who's listening that's like, you know what? Shanita did this. I look up to her. I want to be like her. And so I'm a read everything she's doing, you know, because you never know who can get inspired by what.
Well, I have so many other good, great things I can't really speak on right now, but so many great things I plan to release. You know, just keep following me on Instagram and watching the brand grow.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so now tell us how can we, what's your Instagram or social media handle? How can we find you? How can we order?
So you can find me at s.dentonn. Collection. That's my Instagram, and you can pretty much find the same thing on Facebook. And then for my website, it's www.sdentoncollection.com. Anything else I need as far as emailing, if you want to email me, is at essentandcollection@gmail.com, and that's pretty much it.
And all of that can be found on your Instagram as well. So if they can, one, they can rewind this and also go to S.Denton Collection on IG and find all your information, find all the beautiful garments, see that, you know, your creativity spans from color to actual pieces. And we really look forward to what you have in store. And thank you again for joining us on today and sharing your experience with us. Super, super excited. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for interviewing me.
This has been another episode of Sean Henry's Becoming with me, your host, Sean Henry. If you've gotten anything out of this conversation, please let us know in the comments or by going to seanhenry.com and leave a review. We appreciate the time you took to listen and value your feedback. We are always looking for entrepreneurs to spotlight. If you would like us to spotlight you and your business, go to seanhenry.com and click the link Be My Guest. Remember to tune in every Saturday as we continue to spotlight entrepreneurs during their bumpy but fulfilling ride to success on their own terms.